Radio Prague News.
The Czech Republic is ready to take in Syrian refugees directly from Turkey, the Prime Minister said on Tuesday. Unemployment in the Czech Republic fell to 6.3% last month, and Czech equality activists have been observing International Women's Day. The Czech Republic is prepared to take in Syrian refugees directly from Turkey, the Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka said on Tuesday. This would partially fulfill the country's existing quota under a European Union scheme, relocating asylum seekers around the 28-member bloc. Mr. Sobotka, who defended a new EU deal with Turkey aimed at easing the migration crisis, rejected any increase in the Czech Republic's quota and said the transfers of Syrians from Turkey would only be a temporary measure. Speaking in the lower house, he said the Balkan migration route had been closed and that NATO monitoring had begun in the Aegean Sea, adding that the problem of Greece now needed to be resolved. Around 200 Czech police officers on Tuesday took part in exercises near the border with Austria, meant to simulate the influx of a large number of refugees. The exercises went on in the villages of Dolní Dvořiště in South Bohemia, the town of Mikulov in South Moravia, and in the countryside, with officers testing registration centres that would function in the same way as those that now exist in Macedonia and Hungary, said the Czech police president Tomáš Tuhý. Unemployment in the Czech Republic fell to 6.3% in February, from 6.4% the previous month. That's according to figures released on Tuesday by the National Labour Office. It said that just over 460,000 people were out of work in February. Employers were seeking to fill almost 115,000 positions last month. That's the highest figure recorded since October 2008. The biggest employers in the Czech Republic are the police, Czech Post and the Ministries of Defence and Justice, according to a list compiled by the news website aktualnia.cz. At the start of this year, just under 50,000 people were employed by the police, while the country's postal service had 31,000 staff on its books. The Agrofert Group, owned by the Minister of Finance, Andrej Babiš, is the biggest private sector employer, followed by Škoda Auto. The Czech agriculture sector saw a fall in profits of over 50% year-on-year in 2015, according to figures released by the Czech Agricultural Association on Tuesday. While the industry saw profits of 19 billion crowns in 2014, last year the figure stood at 9 billion crowns. The fall has been attributed to a decline in commodity prices that hit animal products, particularly milk and pork. International Women's Day has lost its original socialist connotations and is today being marked by equal rights activists in the Czech Republic, the Czech news agency reported on Tuesday. Seminars and discussions have been organised to observe the day, which falls on the 8th of March every year, while some politicians have also highlighted unequal conditions between the genders. Just a few years ago, International Women's Day was still a divisive issue. The Senate proposed repeatedly that it be removed from the country's list of significant days. However, the move was blocked by the Chamber of Deputies. The Czech Republic has just experienced one of the warmest meteorological winters recorded, the Czech Hydrometeorological Institute said on Tuesday. All 3 months in the past meteorological winter, which ends on the last day of February, were warmer than average, with temperatures in December and February 4 degrees Celsius higher than the average for that time of year. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening again to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Chris Johnston. Coming up in today's programme, the Czech Republic welcomes an immigration deal with Turkey, a smoking ban loses its shine for lawmakers, and we talk to a journalist tackling the Prague taxi drivers. All that coming up, so please stay with us. After late-night negotiations in Brussels, the EU on Tuesday announced it reached a deal with Turkey on a bold plan to stem the massive influx of refugees into Europe. The Czech Republic, together with the vast majority of EU member states, welcomed the deal as a potential breakthrough in Europe's deepening migrant crisis. Daniela Lazareva reports.
Turkey's unexpected offer to take back all migrants who cross into Europe from its soil in return for more money, faster EU membership talks and quicker visa-free travel for its citizens took the EU by surprise. But under growing pressure to find an effective solution to the deepening migrant crisis, member states quickly caught on to the advantages of the plan, clinching a deal in principle that still needs formal approval by the 28-member bloc. Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka was quick to voice his country's support for it.
We welcome the Turkish proposal because it presents a possible solution. If it works as envisaged, it would finally break the people smuggling business that is driving hundreds of thousands of refugees and economic migrants to Europe. It is an interesting proposal that deserves serious consideration.
The agreement with Turkey is such that in return for another $3.3 billion and faster progress in EU accession talks, the country would take back all migrants who cross over to Greece from where they set out across Europe. In exchange for stopping the influx of illegal migrants, Turkey wants the EU to take in one Syrian refugee directly from Turkey for each migrant returned from Greece. Prime Minister Sobotka said this would not in any way change the Czech Republic. Public's present commitments to take in a certain number of refugees.
What it means is that we will not be taking in refugees from Italy and Greece, but we'll take them from Turkey instead. The numbers are still the same. The agreement has not changed anything in this respect.
The Czech Prime Minister also welcomed the fact that no matter how this deal evolves, the EU recognised the need to close the so-called West Balkans route used by hundreds of thousands of migrants as a gateway to Western Europe, a plan recently discussed in Prague at a summit of the Visegrad Four. European Council President Donald Tusk, who chaired the summit, said the outcome would show migrants that there was no longer a path into Europe for people seeking a better life.
Irregular flow of migrants along the Western Balkan route have now come to an end.
Meanwhile, EU leaders likewise pledged massive humanitarian assistance to help Greece cope with a backlog of migrants stranded on its soil. The EU member states are due to debate the plan in greater detail at a meeting of the European Council on March 17th and 18th.
Daniela Lazareva on the latest twist in the immigration crisis. A group of MPs from the opposition, but from within the ruling coalition as well, have made clear their intent to soften legislation aimed at banning smoking at Czech restaurants, bars and similar premises. Although the proposal passed at first reading and was backed by the lower house's health committee, some MPs view the situation differently and have put forward more than a dozen amendments. Jan Wellinger has the story.
The Czech Republic has long been characterized as one of the last smoking outposts in Europe. That, however, was supposed to change with new legislation to introduce a full smoking ban. The latest draft proposal appeared to have the necessary backing, and there was certainly a greater political will than in the past. Now, though, there is a potential wrench in the works. Ahead of further debate, some MPs signaled that the legislation went too far. By appearances, they could favor a final bill which would be considerably more lenient. One group of Social Democrat MPs, members of the ruling coalition, which enjoys a majority in the lower house, are in favor of restaurants designating separate areas of the premises for smokers and non-smokers. Another option being pursued, Czech TV reported, is for smoking to be banned in restaurants, but not a blanket ban, for example in cafe or bars, where food is not prepared. A third proposal being put forward would be to allow establishments in local towns the option of deciding for themselves to allow or ban smoking on their premises. And still another proposal suggests restaurants with gardens should at least allow smoking at some of the tables outside. One of the MPs in favor of a softer ban is Štěpán Štupčuk of the Social Democrats. He spoke to Czech TV.
Ten spor se nevede o to, jestli kouření škodí zdraví nebo ne, to je dávno vyřešeno.
The argument is not at all about whether smoking is bad for you. That has been sorted out. What is at stake is how much smokers' rights will be affected.
Spor se vede jenom o té míře zásahu tedy do práv těch kuřáků.
As recently as December, the health minister Svatopluk Němeček, also a social democrat, made clear he was having none of it ahead of the first reading. Back then, he brought a funerary urn to the podium, reminding lawmakers that smoking shortened lives by 15 to 18 years on average. He strongly questioned why anyone should have to inhale secondhand smoke. Ahead of Tuesday's debate in the lower house, it was clear there were some areas the minister, however, would have to compromise. One area where he has been more or less willing to negotiate is that of e-cigarettes.
Ta škodlivost je oproti klasickým cigaretám naprosto minimální.
The negative effects compared to regular cigarettes are minimal, so there I am open to debate and some kind of compromise.
Minimální, takže tam jsem otevřen debatě a nějakému kompromisu.
The big question is whether the health minister would have the clout on Tuesday to prevent the bill from being further weakened. Without dissent, the coalition would have a comfortable majority to pass even a blanket ban. Now, though, it looks like the final draft will be not quite as strict.
Jan Wellinger on that evolving smoking ban. Now it's time for this week's In Focus with Ruth Frankova, in which we talk to a young journalist who's been waging a personal crusade against some of Prague's taxi drivers who tarnish the image of the city.
For more than a year now, young Czech journalist Janek Rubeš has been waging a war against Prague's notorious taxi services that have a reputation for overcharging tourists. In his widely popular series broadcast on the internet television Stream.cz, he's also uncovering other tourist scams in the Czech capital. When I spoke to Janek Rubeš, I asked him what sparked his interest in this topic in the first place.
The idea was that we saw a documentary called Scam City, which was made by Connor Woodman for National Geographic, and he uncovered different scams that were happening in Prague. And when he published his documentary, the city of Prague reacted by saying that it's all fake, that the guy Connor Woodman faked all the situations and that he hired actors. And what he showed was being ripped off by the taxi drivers, being ripped off in the exchange places, and so on. So when we watched it, I figured, well, that's an easy try to find out who has the truth. So let's take our camera and let's, you know, do the exactly the same situations that he showed. And we did it, and we ended up even worse than he did. So I was hoping when we published this that the city would react and actually do something, but they didn't do anything. So that's when we started to film our new series now, which is called Prague vs. Crooks, and we've been working on that ever since.
Now, I've seen the episodes that focus on taxi drivers, and basically your method is you pretend to be an American tourist. Mm-hmm. So how high is the chance of being ripped off? What's your experience?
It's almost 100% if you go to a certain location. So we pick the locations. We sort of did cherry picking for the locations, not for the drivers. So the locations we're showing, which is Old Town Square, Pasiska Street, the main train station, surroundings of the Charles Bridge, you will always get ripped off. And the reason we're focusing on these locations is that these are the highly exposed places where a tourist is most likely to get a taxi. You will probably not get ripped off if you get a taxi, you know, somewhere in Vinohrady or anywhere else in Prague. But those are places where tourists will not hail a cab.
What was the most ridiculous fare that you paid?
It was 200 crowns for 1 kilometer, which is about $8 for a kilometer. And we were charged that by a guy that is actually a head of these taxi crooks on Old Town Square. So yeah, he charged us $800 or $790 for like a 4 or 3 kilometer trip.
Was that the trip from the Old Town Square to Wenceslas
yes.
Square?
No. That was, you're referring to the previous documentary we did. But yes, you're right. That was also 800 crowns from Old Town Square to Wenceslas Square, which is actually funny for the listeners that don't know Prague. It's a distance that you would walk easier. So if the taxi driver would have been fair, he would just say, look, just walk it because it's like 4 minute walk. Or you can take the car, but because Prague is very, you know, it's most pedestrian zones and one-way streets, the taxi driver actually has to go around half of the city. So 800 crowns is a lot.
Who are
are these dishonest taxi drivers? Do they work for any of the big companies?
They don't. They go for themselves. They don't work for any company. But all of them together are sort of a company. They have their own rules among each other. They almost act like if they were a company, but they're not.
What's funny is that about 10 years ago, the former Prague mayor, Pavel Bém, did the same thing you are doing now. He pretended to be a tourist, and he also got ripped off. Now, that was 10 years ago. Did anything change since then? And if not, how come that it hasn't?
The number of the crooked taxi drivers has lowered by, you know, maybe hundreds. So yes, the situation is better than 10 years ago. Unfortunately, 10 years ago, I don't remember that, or I wasn't involved in this sort of investigation, but it has lowered. But they're still on the exposed locations, and I don't know the answer to why nothing happened. I guess it's a minor problem to the city hall. I guess tourists are not the voters, so the city hall doesn't really care about tourists, I guess, even though they're bringing the most money to the country and to the city. So we should treat them, I don't want to say with respect, but we should be kind to them. They're visitors, and we should try to host them as the best way we can, which we're not doing right now.
The reason why I was asking is that you also succeeded in interviewing the current mayor, mm-hmm. Adriana Krnáčová, and you asked about the situation. So what were her answers?
She said she's going to set up a team. She said she will, you know, gather people from different systems, from the city police, from the city hall, from taxi companies to try to solve the situation. So basically they're going to start working on it. Mostly she was arguing with the fact that she has bigger problems on her hands, which I understand, but once you're the mayor of a city size of Prague, you will have more than one problem. With all respect to the mayor, she's really unaware of the problem. I can understand that. She really does have bigger problems on her hands, but she should still at least have her ears open to what I'm trying to tell her and that I'm actually trying to help her, or I'm trying to help the city. And the interview we had didn't turn out that way. We basically started an argument, which wasn't really nice.
Another interview that you also released was an interview with the head of the taxi drivers union, who actually openly admitted that he used the same methods of stealing from tourists, didn't he?
He did. That's the guy that charged us 800 crowns for those 3 kilometers. He was very open about what he does. I was open to him the same way. I told him, look, I'm a journalist and I'm going to try to expose what you do and I'm going to try to prevent you from what you're doing. And yes, he was very open. He said he doesn't pay taxes from certain trips. He said he only charges higher rates than the city allows because the limit from the city is set to 28 crowns for 1 kilometer, which is about a euro for 1 kilometer. And then everything flipped the moment that one of his buddies or one of the members of the group that he's running attacked me. And at that point, I was really upset. And I said, look, you're not playing fair. I thought we agreed we will play this game fair. In other words, I will still be a journalist. You will still, you know, do whatever you want, but let's play fair. Let's not. I was naive because there's going to be lawsuits against me and they're going to try everything to stop me from doing what I do.
That's what I just wanted to ask you. When you started showing your videos, what was the reaction of the taxi drivers? Did you receive any threats?
They were very upset, of course. And they didn't like the fact that I'm showing their faces because it's actually against the law. Yet I have something called the journalist license. I don't know what's the right terminology in the law. But yes, they were very upset. And really, everything changed the moment that one of the taxi drivers attacked us. And at that point, they basically stopped communicating with me the normal way. And they just started to send threats, even though I can't tell the threats are coming from them directly. You can sort of smell it, or I don't know, how would you put that? But yes, there are threats. They're almost on a daily basis. So on Monday, you wake up and you get something. You're like, oh, this is really bad. You forget it by Tuesday because something else comes up. They're nothing serious. It's nothing that I would actually be threatened. Nobody's throwing Molotov cocktails at my house.
You said at the beginning that in your first series, you basically followed the steps of Conor Woodman. He made these series in other cities as well. Do you know how Prague actually comes out when compared to other cities? Is it really so bad, the situation here in Prague, or is it comparable to other European or American American cities?
It's definitely comparable. I had a chance to sit down with Connor Woodman. He was here last week. They were filming with BBC this time, a new show about Prague. So I was helping them to point out the bad guys in Prague. But we sat down for a while for a beer, and we were talking about the other cities he filmed. And there's different scams in every city around the globe. I guess the only city I ever visited I wasn't scammed in was Tokyo just recently. Prague is nothing exceptional, nothing special. Yet, I would say we allow these scams to happen more openly. In other words, we're never going to prevent pickpockets from happening on trams. There's like really no way. But if we allow these taxi drivers to stand on the most exposed locations, we are really doing a bad job. I don't think I'm going to stop them from stealing, these taxi drivers, but at least please move them out of the city center. Let's make it harder for them.
Apart from taxi drivers, what kind of scams have you exposed?
We're going to follow up the series. We sort of ended the taxi driver series now, and we're going to continue with restaurants, with change places, with places where you change money. Racism, there's some racism still happening in Prague, which is almost to laugh at. So restaurants, for example, there's different sort of scams that happen to tourists when they come to Prague. And those are things that are hard to, let's say, call the cops to, because you don't really have a chance to stop this from happening. But at least we can point at it, and we can tell Czechs to, let's say, write, you know, reviews on different sites to help the tourists not go to these places.
Do you only make these series? Or?
Yes, my job is working for StreamCZ, which is the internet TV. And this is not the only show I do. I work on other shows as a camera guy or advisor or something like that.
Yeah, so I just wanted to ask you whether you only concentrate on the sort of negative side, or also do some, you know, positive shows.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We do. I think most shows I do are positive. For example, we just visited Banat, which is a place in Romania where Czechs live. So we were going to do a show about that. So I was there with my colleague Martin, and we do a show with Adam Gebrian. He's an architect. So it's a show about architecture. Oh, we do many, many shows. And I would say most of the stuff I do is positive. So it balances.
Janek Rubesch there, talking to Ruth Frankova in that In Focus, which was first broadcast back in July last year. If you have any comments about today's programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. But for me, Chris Johnston, goodbye. Thanks very much for joining us.